You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Joe Fairless. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Ken. I'm doing well. Great to be here.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, my pleasure, my friend. I'm excited about this.
Very cool. So Joe is actually a fellow podcaster. He has the show Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever. He's been investing since 2009. He's actually had the privilege of interviewing Barbara Cochran and Robert Kiyosaki and a number of other super great investors. But I'd love to hear, Joe, maybe how you got started in real estate and how you got where you are now.
Sure. Well, I'm from Texas originally. I went to Texas Tech University, graduated in 2005, and moved straight up to New York City. My major was advertising, so I wanted to compete with the best of the best in advertising. And I climbed the corporate ladder relatively quickly. I became the youngest vice president of an advertising in New York City. But for anybody familiar with the marketing and advertising world, you know that you don't get paid anything when you first get started. In fact, I was making less than minimum wage whenever I first got going, when you factor in all the hours I was working.
Sure.
So, and living in New York City, I mean, you know, I think my paycheck was $740 every 2 weeks. It was tough.
How do you live on that in New York City?
You survive. You don't really live and thrive on it. But you know, as I got into the advertising industry in New York City, I grew. As I got promoted, I made more money, and whenever I had money to invest, I ended up buying a single family home in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area, where mm-hmm. I'm from. And it's, for anybody familiar with that area, it's in Duncanville, so a little bit south. I paid $76,000 for it. Now it's worth about $95,000.
Nice.
And it rents out for, I just actually got a tenant, a Section 8 tenant. It would be the first Section 8 tenant I've ever had, but a Section 8 tenant for $1,275 on this house I bought for $76,000.
That's solid.
Yeah.
When did you buy this one in Dallas? Because I know Dallas, there was some killer opportunity. Yeah, late
2000s. 2009.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, that's my first house.
Perfect timing.
It's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, built in the 90s, I believe, 80s or 90s. And it was pretty much move-in ready. And I've only had, since 2009, I've only had, this will be the third tenant since 2009. The first one lasted 6 months and we evicted them. The second one was in there up until a couple months ago. And then this will be my third one. So it's remained rented, and it was a great start for me, other than the eviction for the first tenant.
You got your education on the first one.
Yeah, I did. The first piece of education is don't hire a property management company that you find through Google.
Yeah,
don't do that at all.
Get a referral. That's right.
Get a referral. Exactly. Ask Ken. He'll tell you.
That's hilarious. So that was your first delve into real estate. It was out of state. So you were actually living in New York and investing in Dallas.
Yeah.
And then what did you do from there?
Yeah. Well, from there, I just started buying properties on an annual basis. I bought one a year for about 3 or 4 years. I ended with 4 homes by the time I left the advertising industry in 2012. Years are getting foggy.
they blend together.
But it was like 2 years ago, so I guess that's 2013. So I bought about a house a year. I realized in advertising I just wasn't fulfilled anymore, so I wanted to go into real estate full time a couple years ago, and that's whenever I learned how to raise money and buy apartment communities with investors. And I raised over $1 million for my first deal. And again, I've been buying single family homes all along for my own portfolio, but I knew that that just wasn't a way for me personally to reach my goals as quickly as I wanted to. So I wanted to go bigger, knew I needed to bring in outside money to do that, learn how to raise the money. And I'm literally sitting at my 168 unit apartment community in Cincinnati right now, where I raised over $1 million, and we've got a pretty good thing going. We bought it 2 years ago and it's rocking and rolling.
Wow. So you're working full time. You start acquiring some single family houses out of state, and then you say, screw this. I don't want to be a full time ad guy anymore. And so did you quit and then start raising the money for the apartment deal?
Yeah, I ended up leaving the advertising industry, and then I actually, right after that, that was December of 2012. That's my final answer. I'm pretty sure that's correct year. December of 2012. And in January of 2013, I started my own company. I wanted to be a career consultant initially, where I would help college students, young professionals do well in advertising and PR and marketing. What I spent $3,000 on a website, and once I launched it, I had no clients. And I realized very quickly, this is such a stupid thing for me not to know, but I realized that you have to have clients before you have a product. The best businesses have clients before they have a product. Mm-hmm. And then I started talking to investors about real estate investing and what I was thinking about doing, about raising money, buying something larger, and they were really interested in that. So I ended up, you know, kind of putting the pieces together and making it happen.
So right out of the gates, then you decide let's go after an apartment complex. Did that fall in your lap, or did you go out looking for an apartment complex?
Nothing ever falls in anybody's lap, as you know. Yeah. I mean, you know that. Yeah, you create your luck. What I'd say is, I was in. So that was January was basically a failed business for me. This is my mm-hmm. first month as an entrepreneur. February was all about speaking to investors and identifying a market. Well, I'm living in New York City at the time, and I identified Tulsa, Oklahoma as a market that I wanted to invest in. So I started doing outreach to brokers. I had a mentor who was teaching me also, which was really helpful. He introduced me to a team in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Great team, but I just wasn't a priority in their life because I'm some dude in New York City who's never purchased an apartment building before, and asking them to look at apartments on my behalf in their city. So what I realized in February is that I needed to travel to Tulsa to actually go and meet them face to face and make offers on properties. I did that, still didn't find anything. This is March. In late March, after making 8 offers on apartment communities in Tulsa, my consultant showed me an opportunity in Cincinnati, and it's actually the one that we ended up doing, where there are some ways to do creative financing. Specifically, we got this property under a master lease with option to purchase, and we did the master lease. I raised the money, and then we ended up getting the property.
You know, so this show is all about your best deal ever, and I'm guessing that this that this apartment deal has been your best deal ever to date, or have you worked on any other big deals since then?
Yeah, it's funny how it's, you know, I love your show and how you do focus on the best deal ever. And you and I are basically cousins, because on my show, in my lightning round, and you're going to be on it, one of the lightning round questions is best ever deal.
Nice. Yeah, what is funny, the title of your show, the best real estate investing advice ever.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah, we probably are cousins in the podcasting world.
We're totally cousins.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and so I'd say my best deal, yeah, I might also say it's my first deal, because it got me started. I could also say it's my third deal, because I bought it all cash for 60-some thousand, did a cash-out refinance, went at appraised for 86,000, and got literally all my cash back. And I have a property that makes me a couple $100 a month. So that $50,000 and change, or $60,000 and change, that allowed me to start my career as an entrepreneur in January of 2013. If we're talking numbers and catapulting me to where I'm at now, I'd definitely say it's been this 168 unit deal, because now I'm you know, having success with that, and I'm working on a 250 unit deal that we have under contract in Houston right now.
Nice. So you've moved on now to another apartment deal in Houston. Interesting.
Yep.
Well, let's do this. Let's delve into the details, because I'm sure a lot of people want to know, How do you go from buying four single family houses, which is very manageable, to all of a sudden raising $1 million and buying a large apartment building? Because that's a pretty big jump that I'm sure a lot of people would love to know. Wow, how did you make that jump? And you quit your day job. I mean, a lot kind of happened in between starting and then jumping into something big. You just decided that, hey, I'm gonna go big. I'm gonna go find an apartment complex, and then you eventually found the one in Cincinnati. What did you do from there? Once you spotted this opportunity, how did you go about raising the capital?
Yeah, well, I'd say the first thing you have to do is you have to make sure that you have blissful ignorance, because if you knew what was ahead of you on the road, then there's no way in hell you'd end up doing it, most likely. What I did specifically to raise the money when I'd never raised a penny before, and I was learning how to raise money, is and this is what I work with, I consult and I work with my clients on. You first identify all the networks that you're a part of. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm on the Texas Tech Alumni Advisory Board. I'm the captain of my flag football team. I'm on two softball teams. I've got friends in Midland. I've got friends in New York City, friends in Dallas, like networks of friends, not just one-off friends, but networks of friends. So identify all the networks that you're a part of. And then write down in a spreadsheet, so all the networks, the network name will be a column. So every network name has its own column. Then underneath that, write down all the people in that network that you know. And the key is to get just one person from each of those networks to be interested, because then you can name check that person when you're talking to other people in that network. And you can say, well, Ken's been talking to me about this, and he and I thought that it would be good for you to be us to talk about this opportunity for you as well. And this person might say, well, I know that Ken's really, fiscally responsible, so sure, I'd love to talk to you about it.
That's good. It's like strategic name dropping, kind of.
It's strategic name dropping, and it's even better whenever that other person's invested in the deal already.
Totally.
What I just said, that kind of like back and forth dialogue, that's verbatim what happened with my largest investor, who invested over $300,000 in the deal, because he knew somebody who he respected, and that person had already qualified the deal and invested their money in my deal. And of course, this $300,000 person looked at all the numbers, but that initial, the initial qualifier that he had in his mind was checked once he knew that this other person was in the deal.
Interesting. Okay, so let's go back and talk about the numbers then. Do you remember how much you ended up buying the apartment complex for, how much it was listed for?
I could say that in every language. Yes, of course I remember. Yeah, it's $6.35 million.
$6.35 million. And it was listed just like on the open market?
It was on the open market. Also, it was also on LoopNet, and it had remained on, and this is a big learning that I got. Even properties on LoopNet, there you can go after them. You just have to go after them differently than other people are going after them. This property was on LoopNet, and nobody was touching it because it has a large prepayment penalty on it. So it was cost prohibitive to actually acquire it, because you have to pay $800,000 to repay off the loan early. If you assume the loan, well, the loan sucks because it's 6.19% interest rate. So it was just standing still. So what we did is we came in with a master lease with option to purchase. We didn't trigger the prepayment penalty. We took control of the property.
Ah, I got you. So they required you to assume their loan. Is that the deal? It was for sale, but they wanted you to assume it.
Well, there wasn't a requirement, but if you didn't assume it, then you'd have to pay like almost $1 million prepayment penalty.
They wanted you to pay their prepayment penalty for them. I got you.
That's correct. Yes. Gotcha. That's correct.
Yep. Okay. Interesting. So this is sitting out there at $6.35 million, and so they agreed to do a master lease with option to purchase. So I guess at this point they asked that they had a requirement for the down payment of $1 million.
Yeah, and the price for the actual property was $6.7 million, but we ended up buying it for $6.35.
Gotcha. Okay, so you negotiated them down.
Yep.
And so you're negotiating on this, and are you thinking in the back of your mind, crap, I got to go out and raise $1 million, or had you already kind of started raising the money before you'd gotten the thing under contract?
I was thinking, crap, I'm going to have to raise a lot more money than I thought. Initially, I didn't mention this, but when I was looking at properties in Tulsa, they were 30 units.
Oh, okay. So you jumped. And how many units was this again?
168.
168 units. And is this like a B class or A class apartment? It's a C class. Okay. And what was the advertised cap rate on it?
9%.
Okay. Nice. All right. So, and then, so you guys end up getting this thing under contract for 6.3. They want $1 million down. You go to your friends, start raising the money. What happened from there?
We started raising the money and then realized that we initially I thought I'd need like 400,000 the way it was presented to me with how that we were going to structure it. Then it was 800,000. Then it was like 1.3 million. So my threshold kept increasing for what I needed to raise. Ended up coming in creatively where I brought in $843,000. The brokers that were involved reinvested their commissions into the deal to be equity partners in it at 25%. So my group had 75% ownership. They had 25%. And then the deposit credits and taxes were prorated in such a way that it credited us towards the down payment that was required for the property.
I gotcha. Okay. So you guys satisfy their down payment requirement. Now, it's a lease option, so title technically hasn't transferred to you guys. Is that right, or how did that work?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. Title has not transferred. However, we do receive the equity pay down on the mortgage every month.
Okay.
Yeah, so every month we have this, we're building equity, assuming we make the mortgage payment.
Right.
We're building equity in the property of about $15,000. So after 10 months, that's 150. After 20 months, that's 300,000. And we've had it for 24 months. So what is that? $360,000 worth of equity that we've created in the 2 years we've had it just off paying the mortgage, let alone, the things that we've done to make the property better.
And so, has it continued to produce then at about 9 cap for you?
Yeah.
And it's stable, and there was property management already in place. You basically just took over what was already there. Or did you have to replace property management?
It was a turnaround project for sure. And quite frankly, it was more of a turnaround project than I anticipated. And that was partially because of my ignorance going into it, not having done this before. I didn't anticipate the extent of the turnaround and the quality of residents that were in there initially. And the type of project that was an undertaking that I was about to do. Initially, one of the learnings is do not treat an apartment community like you do a single family home investment. It is not the same thing.
Sure.
At all. With my single family homes, I'd literally spend a minute every 3 months just looking at the numbers that my management company sends me. But that's not the case with a 168-unit apartment community where you've got to reposition it and turn it around and put better quality, different residents who are better qualified in the property. So it was a hands-on project for me for sure, and it was one incredibly amazing learning experience, and it's gone really well.
Interesting. So what did that look like for you? Because I'm sure a lot of people are interested, especially when you go in and you buy a C-class property where the management's not great and you're trying to turn this thing around. It's like turning, the Titanic. I know you ended up actually moving to Cincinnati. And was part of that to help oversee and manage the project, or were you doing it all remotely?
I was doing it all remotely. I moved to Cincinnati just 2 weeks ago, and that's because it's time for a life change. I've been in New York for 10 years and got a girlfriend here now, and I also am working on a development deal. I didn't mention this before, but I'm working on a development deal in Northern Kentucky, which is right across the border.
Nice.
So, as far as what it's like, I mean, it was owner managed when we took it over. We put in a professional third party management company. They're great. And now, but it is hands on. It's a time consuming thing. If it's a turnaround project, now there's ways to, if I had known this going into it, there's ways of structuring the team so that it's not as hands on for me personally, but, lessons learned. I've learned some great things now that I've kind of overseen this turnover project, because we basically turned over all 100, I'd say 80% of the 168 units.
Wow. With new tenants?
Since we've had it. With new residents, exactly. Better qualified residents based on different income requirements and different deposit requirements and credit checks, things like that.
Wow. Did you have to do any rehab to the units as well when you got them out?
If they're destroyed, we make them livable and good and clean. We haven't done many major upgrades to them, but we've just gotten this place straightened up.
Man, that's talk about getting your education on a multifamily deal, jumping right into a 168 unit apartment complex. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the only way I do it, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you put a lot of time and effort into it, but I mean, it's a time and effort in a very large project. I mean, you can put a lot of time and effort into three single family homes that aren't worth $7 million. I mean, you still leveraged up your time into something much larger.
And you, it's funny that you mentioned $7 million because, it's worth north of $7 million now. And it appraised, actually, I didn't mention this, but I said it was listed for 6.6 or 6.7. It appraised for 6.8 the day we closed on it.
Wow.
And whenever we exercise our option to purchase, we exercise it at 6.35. So right there, you know, we've got the equity of 6.8 minus 6.35. So what is that? $450,000 plus I already mentioned the $350,000 or $360,000 that we've already created through equity pay down. Mm-hmm. So that's almost $800,000 worth of equity. And that's if we haven't even touched the place. That's if we've maintained just the level that it was at.
Sure.
So I mean, it's like you said, we choose where we spend our time, and some, you know, we can choose to spend it on bigger projects and extend ourselves, or kind of, you know, doing other things that don't necessarily extend ourselves.
Sure. And so what's the long-term play here for you guys? Because you've got this prepayment penalty, you know, hanging over you, but you've got an option to exercise probably whenever you want.
Yeah, we can exercise whenever we want. The prepayment penalty goes away in about a year and a half. So right now it's just it's not on the market, but we're receiving offers from buyers. They'd have to renegotiate a different loan with the lender if they buy it now, or we can just wait till the prepayment penalty goes away, and we'll have a property that's got a significant amount of equity in it in a year and a half, and we can put new loan on it with no prepayment penalty and cash out the investors with their initial investment, and then we can all be in it with no money of our own.
Absolutely. And then just collect the cash flow. I mean, talk about a long-term asset to hold.
Yep.
If you're managing the thing, that's phenomenal. What, talk about a great best deal ever, especially one of your first ones out of the gates too.
Yep.
So Joe, talk to us about maybe your podcast and how folks can find you and how I can help you.
Well, my podcast, Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever. If you're interested in learning the best advice ever from successful real estate investors, then tune in. You can find it. Just Google my name, Joe Fairless, Best Advice Ever, or just go on iTunes and look up Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever, or go on iTunes and look up Joe Fairless, J-O-E-F as in Frank, A-I-R-L-E-S-S. I'm really excited to stay in touch with you, Ken, and I'm just grateful that we got connected. I'm looking forward to having you on my show as well.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to being on your show, especially considering we're podcast cousins now, right?
That's right. Family's got to stick together.
That's right. That's right. Well, Joe, thanks so much for being on the show. I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Take care. Bye. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini reminding you to check us out online at dealfarm.net. Feel free to download our free ebook, How to Invest in Real Estate. And do not forget, we still have our free t-shirt offer going. All you have to do to get a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt is go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Once you've done that, go to our website, email us and let us know that you've done it. Give us your address and t-shirt size, and the t-shirt will be in the mail immediately. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm. Take care.